Mr. Morrison, you ready?
All right, let's be in order, please. Mr. Sagsveen.
Mr. McCarthy, in your route section of Exhibit 1, which is the application, I want to draw your attention to Section 4, which is the describes the mitigative measures that will be taken for the project. And I'll refer you to page 26 in the Cultural Resources section. In this section, you propose mitigation for various sites, and I believe there's about 5 or 6 sites. So, although I don't want to slow this hearing down unnecessarily, I'd like you to walk through these sites and describe the mitigation measures and then point to the maps so that we can see exactly what you're talking about.
Very good. I'm going to orient folks to the maps first because I can talk about them while you look at the maps. The maps would be found in Appendix B, and they follow the SC maps. They're designated as SC-CR for Cultural Resources, 1 through, I think there may be 15 of them. So with that having been said, I'm going to get myself oriented as well. And I will walk through the mitigation sites primarily. At milepost approximately between 9 and 10 is site 32MZ2204. And this site was identified as a potential resource. We recommend necking down the construction corridor to allow for a 50-foot buffer around the site, fencing it for a visual reinforcement of an area to be protected. And the site itself was left unevaluated with respect to its eligibility to the National Historic Preservation Act. SHPO concurred that avoidance at this point would be sufficient for this resource. The next site in which we had a mitigation plan set forth was between mileposts 17 and 18. That's SCCR05 is the map. Again, this is a location where we will reduce our construction footprint. We're going to maintain a 50-foot buffer around the resource and put a exclusion fence up around it to further protect it. This site was also left unevaluated with respect to National Register of Historic Properties. The next resource in which we proposed mitigation was between mileposts 44 and 45. That map is correlates with SCCR11. I'm speaking of resource 32MZ937. This site has been recommended to be eligible for the National Register of Historic Places. A portion of the site falls within the previously disturbed pipeline corridor. Our proposed mitigation is that we constrain our workspace and our activities to the existing previously disturbed pipeline corridor to avoid additional impacts to this resource. Essentially, this resource is bisected by the existing utility corridor, and State Historic Preservation Office agrees that further disturbance within the corridor is preferable to extending those disturbance boundaries. This location, we suggested that an professional archaeologist monitor the activities during construction. Those are three sites that occur on private lands within the project. There's one additional site that actually fell on federal lands, Forest Service property. That's between milepost 41 and 42. And again, you'll find that on map SCCR 11. This is a cultural resource site that has both historic and prehistoric elements to it. It's the historic component is not eligible, although the prehistoric site is eligible for National Register of Historic Places. This is very similar to the last site I discussed where the pipeline corridor bisects the existing site, and the recommendation is again that we constrain our pipeline activities to the existing utility corridor to avoid and minimize additional impacts to areas that may not have been previously disturbed. We also recommend at this location a professional archaeologist monitor the construction activities. Those are the sites, all the sites in which there's actually mitigation that's been proposed and approved.
So are there any other sites that there has not been any proposed mitigation proposed? Or
there are no other sites which mitigation was proposed, recommended for the site, for the route.
And you mentioned that your survey corridor is 125 feet off center.
Correct, 125 feet either side of the center line of the pipeline, correct.
Is your construction footprint going to go outside of the 250-foot corridor?
We will constrain all of our construction activities to the surveyed corridor.
Okay. I don't have any additional questions.
Mr. Merle.
In Appendix D on page 6, you describe estimating individual trees and shrubs and shelter belts. Is this method of calculating and estimating a standard, and why should I feel comfortable with it?
Right. It is the standard. We hired a local ecologist field crews to conduct our surveys. This was the standard that they recommended, and in addition to their estimates, we also did include a tree and shrub inventory of the entire route. So there may have been locations where the densities were higher than normal that they were estimated, but a full inventory has been done.
No further questions.
Mr. Sagsveen?
I just have one follow-up question.
I noticed in a number of spots that the on the map, and I don't have the one I want in front of me, but it's a map that has a purple crosshatch to identify the survey areas, and in some spots the survey areas deviate, but the yellow line is specific to a certain survey area. It's your proposal with this application that the only survey corridor that's going to be utilized is the area that has the yellow line with the proposed pipeline through it, correct?
That is correct. There were some areas that were surveyed that are not included with this route, but any portion of the route that we're proposing has been surveyed to the 250-foot standard that we've described.
And you don't intend to deviate from the maps which identify the yellow line as the pipeline in the specific survey areas?
You are correct.
I don't have any additional questions.
Questions from the commission. Commissioner Clark.
Just a few, thanks. You had mentioned the hydrostatic test water disposal permit. Who issues that?
That's issued by the North Dakota Department of Health.
Okay.
They have a standard general permit that we will apply for.
Okay. Any idea as far as timing when you expect to receive that?
The agency requests 30 days to review it. So the application format's very simple. It's a little bit of myself coordinating with my project manager where he wants to locate his outfalls. I put it down on a map, fill out the form, and it's a very straightforward process.
And it's just a matter of needing that before you actually test the line.
That is correct. Okay. Yeah, before you actually discharge.
The EA that's conducted because you trigger Forest Service permitting, does that cover just the 20 miles of the line that are on Forest Service land, or does it cover an entire line once that's triggered?
For a question there, in this case, the Forest Service chose to simply study the portion of the project that crosses Forest Service lands. Mm-hmm. So in this instance, it simply is an analysis of our impacts to Forest Service lands.
Is it their choice where they could expand to consider the entire line?
Right. They have the opportunity as a federal agency to serve as a lead federal agency and exercise oversight over the entire project. The Army Corps of Engineers, in the same respect, could do the same thing. I've seen it happen in the past. It's somewhat discretionary, largely determined upon the sensitivity of the project and potential controversy that might be associated with it.
Okay. You had mentioned a number of reasons that you chose to go through the grasslands as opposed to avoiding it, and I didn't hear in your list, but I think I heard it earlier from a witness, that one of the reasons also was to avoid the Yellowstone confluence area. Is that correct?
Right. Routing, which would be more northerly than what we traversed, would cross the Yellowstone at a more sensitive environmental crossing. It's braided, and there are a confluence with other water bodies coming in, and it would be a more difficult crossing there.
Okay, thanks. And then one final question, referring to, I didn't put the exhibit number on it, but it's the exhibit that includes the waiver from the Hatters.
Yep.
There's a map attached to that. Could you explain why, if you did consider it, why it wouldn't be reasonable to keep the line 500 feet from the Hatter residence? I noticed that there's a slight deviation that's made for what appears to be a coulee or a stream. Was there any thought to just extending that deviation a bit so that you might be 500 feet away?
I'm probably not the right person to answer that.
Okay. If we could have a witness, I'm just trying to establish why it would be unreasonable to, why it wouldn't be reasonable to keep it 500 feet away. Okay. Very good. Thanks. That's all I have.
Further questions from the commission? Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you for your testimony. I just had one question. Is it 14 sensitive species or 15 in the Forest Service land? I saw two different numbers and I couldn't.
Right. It's 15.
Okay.
The 14 came up because there is a plant species that's was made. They changed their list this year and added some species, and we lost track.
And that's my real question, not so much for the hearing, but just general knowledge, is that I understand the background for threatened and endangered, but what is the trigger for what the service can deem sensitive? I would like some input in that as a state person.
Right, and that's a great question. The Forest Service, as a federal land management agency, has a responsibility for oversight and management of those properties that it owns and operates. And the Forest Service, first and foremost, like all other parties, must manage threatened and endangered species, and those are most people are common and understand, and those are identified through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. As a land management agency, they often manage lands that are unique or somewhat special, and that's how they got set aside for the benefit of the public. Those unique lands may support certain species that are dependent upon those unique land formations. And so they have developed additional lists of species that would be found and dependent within those unique landforms that they're managing. And these lists can be regional for the various land federal lands that they manage. And so each federal unit has their own sensitive species list that goes in addition to the more common.
Is there a check and balance on that? Or, I mean, there, you'd assume they would have to have some data that supports it, and there'd be other agencies that could check that. They, I mean, it, what is a check and balance on the service for that sensitive?
Right. I believe that that, if I understand your question, it would go through some.
Or the review of it, I guess.
Right. It would go through some form of a peer review and then be published for comment like any other federal decision.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Further questions from the commission? Follow up, Mr. Morrison.
No additional questions.
Mr. Sagsby.
No additional questions.
Mr. Moore.
No.
Thank you very much, Mr. McCarthy. Mr. Morrison.
Mr. Examiner, this time I'd like to recall Mr. Clark just to address Commissioner Clark's one question.
All right.
There's no relation just for you.
Not that I know of.
Mr. Clark, you understand, of course, that your further testimony continues under oath and subject to penalties of perjury.
I do.
Mr. Morrison.
Russ, I'll ask you to turn to a copy of Exhibit 3 that I think you have in front of you, and maybe show going to the picture, which is the second page. Can you describe for the commission why you didn't move that 105 feet to the south and get more than 500 feet away?
Right. The pipeline was not moved outside of the exclusion zone so that we could remain within the existing utility corridor on Forest Service land. The land south of County Road 38 is Forest Service, so we were just trying to stay within existing corridors.
If you look at this picture, you can kind of see that corridor, even though it's been reclaimed, you can see the pipelines just north of your red line. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And that was a preference of the Forest Service. Is that correct?
To my understanding, yes.
That I have no further questions.
Mr. Sagsveen.
I have no questions, Your Honor.
Mr. Murrell.
No questions.
Questions from the commission?
None. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Clark. Mr. Morrison.
With that, we have nothing further. We would rest.
Mr. Sagsveen, anything for the record?
No, Your Honor.
Is there anyone present who wishes to speak to the commission, to testify, to make a statement, or provide any information concerning this project? If not, commissioners, your closing comments. Commissioner Clark?
Just thank you for a good hearing. This we should be able to take it up fairly expeditiously. I think it's in Commissioner Kramer's portfolio, but assuming we get findings of fact, conclusions of law, and an order, we probably can act on it fairly soon, and things seem to be in fairly good order. So thank you again for a good hearing. Always a pleasure to see you and to be here in Watford City.
Commissioner Kramer.
Well, I just want to say thank you as well, and as it's become, you know, the tradition, both the company and John, you have presented a very good and thorough case, which does allow us to do our work better. With regard to the timeline, the schedule, and I don't want to speak for staff, but we do, as I said earlier, our next scheduled meeting is September 7th. Now, the commission finds itself getting together a couple of times late this week, if that matters. After tomorrow, we'll know whether we're coming back to Watford City Thursday for a hearing. Also, we have a work session Friday, again, if that matters. I'm just trying to think ahead to what's possible if there needs to be some accommodations to expedite things, again, assuming there's a proposed order. With that, just thank you.
Commissioner Cook.
Just thank you, and maybe even expound upon Kevin's and Tony's comments. But, I mean, one would think that the hearings that we do, that most folks are as prepared as you folks are coming in there. But we're finding that some people aren't. And so, you know, if you want the hearings to go along, the work that you do ahead of time, it really makes things easier, lets our staff do all the work they can do ahead of time to ask the right questions, and it really makes the process go smoothly. So I really want to thank you for that, because Unfortunately, this is not always a standard out there, but this was very good today, so thank you.
Mr. Morrison, anything further for the record?
Nothing further. We will provide a proposed order, and it'll probably be Wednesday before we get that to you, but we will certainly get it to you midweek this week and should be fairly clean.
Mr. Sagsveen, anything further for the record?
No, Your Honor.
Accordingly, the hearing for North Dakota Public Service Commission case number PU-11-66 is closed. Thank you.